If you have your copy of God's Word, you turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, be taking our text from tonight. Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 10 through 14. Actually, 10 through 15, I believe. I believe I wrote that down wrong. But Acts chapter 17, starting with verse 10, yeah, going through 14. And we'll go ahead and read these verses together if you'd like. If you're able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word tonight? Acts chapter 17, starting with verse 10. And here the Bible says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you tonight, Lord, asking for your help with this text. Lord, you know what we've been studying this week, and God, what you've moved in our heart to give tonight, Lord. I'm praying, Lord, that you just make our hearts pliable to receive your word and to get the deepest understanding that we possibly can, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. And God, may you receive any glory from this message tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. You can be seated. Well, this is part number 43 of our study through the book of Acts. And last Wednesday, we looked at those first 10 verses. We actually read verse 10 last time, but I wanted to pick it back up tonight for the context. But we looked at those first verses there last time, and we saw where Paul and his missionary team had traveled to Thessalonica to preach the gospel. The Bible says, as Paul's manner was, he went into the synagogue. And he stopped off there first to preach the gospel. And many people came to Christ. The Bible went on about several people that had believed. Jews believed, and some women there believed, and also the Greeks and such. But there was those that would not accept the truth. They would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And those people wanted to stir up trouble. It wasn't enough that they just simply didn't want to believe. They didn't want anyone else to believe, and they wanted to shut up the one that was trying to tell everybody about Jesus. The Bible said that up there in verse 5, "But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." Now, we know we're not going to read all that tonight. We read it last time, but we know what happened. They accused Paul and Silas of turning the world upside down. They said, "These has turned the world upside down." And we mentioned how they were really turning the world right back, the right side up with the gospel. But they accused them of turning the world upside down, but mainly for teaching things contrary to the decrees of Caesar. In other words, they're going against the Roman government, and that's bad news. And that is what's got everybody in an uproar. The whole city, the Bible says, is an uproar. And they could not find Paul and Silas, apparently. And so they just decided to take the man who'd been letting them stay in his house, this man Jason. We don't know a lot about this man other than he seems to be a good man that believed in the Lord and also was a help to the Apostle Paul and his men when they came to this town. But this man Jason has been charged with causing a riot when it wasn't really him that caused it. It was actually the people, but those unbelieving Jews. And they make him pay a fine, some kind of bail or fine of some type. And then they let him go. But immediately after that is where we pick up. Verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So they send Paul and Silas out in the cloak of darkness. And it says immediately. So this riot that took place and everything, this hubbub, it must have took up most of the day. It was going into the evening, turning nighttime. And as soon as this Jason has to pay this fine and leaves and gets back to where he knows Paul and Silas are, immediately they say, look, brothers, we've got to get them out of this place. They were doing that to protect them. This whole city being in an uproar. Who's to say the next morning these men are not going to start the same thing, looking for Paul and Silas again? I'm sure they did. And so they take them out, slip them away before anybody notices it, really. And it's just a safety precaution in case the lynch mob shows up. And despite, though, Paul and Silas leaving like this, they still accomplished what they set out to do. They were not defeated. Sure, they got run off. Sure, a lot of trouble was made from it. But they still preached the gospel, and many people come to Christ. And out of that, the church at Thessalonica began. And we know we've got 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Paul writes letters back to this church about this. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, first chapter, toward the last verses, I can't remember exactly which ones it is, but Paul talks about how he wanted to go back there and visit, but he was unable to because Satan was causing problems there, stirring up strife. We may look at that here in a minute, but it applies to this tonight. But despite all this, they did accomplish what they wanted. They saw souls saved, shared the gospel, and this time they decide to go 50 miles. It's 50 to 60 miles, depending on what map you look at and who you listen to. But around 50 miles from Thessalonica is this place of Berea. Now, Berea is not mentioned very often in the Bible at all. In fact, it's just mentioned right here in Acts. And I was talking to Mary last night, and it just struck me as I was studying over this, and I've never thought about this before, but the very few times Berea is mentioned in the Bible, think of all the churches named Berea. Think about how everybody automatically, when you hear the word Berea or Berean, you automatically think of these people that were so studious of the Bible, that studied the Word of God. That name just pops up. You don't hear that about a lot of other places that's mentioned in the Bible. You ever heard of Thessalonica Baptist Church? No. But there's a Berea Baptist in about every city in the world. But these Bereans, what a mark they made on the world just because of how devoted and dedicated they were to learning the Word of God. May that be said about us. May people say about Northside Baptist Church, boy, those people down there, they love the Bible. They know the Bible. They're biblicists. If you want to know something about the Bible, go down and ask somebody at Northside because they love the Bible and they study the Bible. That right there, if I heard somebody say that, that would bring me, I'd probably get prideful, wouldn't I? But that would give me such joy to hear this church was known because we love the Lord enough to study His Word and know it. Now, that's not said about every church. You know, there's some churches, automatically, when you think of that church, you think of a certain thing they're known for. Oh, that Christmas play they put on. Yeah. Oh, their music program. Oh, their volleyball team. I mean, automatically, in my head, I see these churches, and when I hear their names, that's what I think of. But do you think they know the Word of God? Because that's what we should be known for. Knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, and knowing His Word. And so they go here 50 miles away to Berea. And look at verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So these Jews in Berea were very different than the ones just 50 miles up the road. Isn't that something, how people can be so different? How they do things differently. I know just from here in Knoxville, we've got divisions in Knoxville of different little parts of the town and stuff, and people are completely different from one area to the other. People where I live around the mountain, I mean, we're a bunch of rednecks and hillbillies. You come here and everybody's city people, and it's just so different how things are. But these people are so different, even though they're Jews. They're not like that. The Bible says there they were more noble. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Here, I guess in Tennessee, we'd say they had a lot more sense than they did down in Thessalonica. And so these Bereans, they're willing to consider what Paul's preaching, But they're not just going to take it for face value right off the bat. At first, they're going to say, now, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to look in the Word of God and verify that for myself. And that's what they did. They knew the Word of God. So when Paul come about saying, well, this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom the prophets prophesied about, when Isaiah said this in Isaiah 53, and when Jeremiah said this, and when he would tell Matt, they would say, okay, now let me think about what he's saying here. In Isaiah, I'm going to search the Scriptures and make sure what he's saying lines up. That's what they did. That's what you need to do. You need to study this Word of God yourself. Don't just take my word for it. And certainly don't just take anybody's word for it. I would never purposely try to mislead anybody. I never would. But you never know. I may be wrong about something. I know there's been times I've accidentally wrote down the wrong Scripture and read the wrong Scripture. One time in Sunday school, this was one of the most embarrassing things. One time in Sunday school, and I only use the King James Bible, okay? But I had this program that had these different versions side by side. And when I wanted some text, I would copy it and paste it in my notes, you know, to read. And I obviously had copied and pasted some crazy version of the Bible in my notes. And so I was in Sunday school teaching this lesson. And I knew as soon as it was coming out of my mouth, this is not right, this is wrong. And a guy there, he was one of our deacons. He was sitting there in the seat, and I saw him go like this. He went, and I knew. I was like, "Oh no, I have really messed up." And I was so flustered, I couldn't figure out what had happened, and so I skipped it and kept going. And then after the service, he came up to me and said, "Brother Byrd," he said, "Now, I don't think that what you read there is what it said in the Bible." And I was like, "Nah, I know. I've copied the wrong version." And boy, I have made sure that there's none of that on my computer anymore, so I don't ever make that mistake again. But it was embarrassing. So you never know. I might do something dumb again, and you'll have to catch me on it. And so always study the Bible for yourself. Don't just take somebody else's word. You would be amazed how many people will come to me and say, "Brother Byron, where is this in the Bible?" And they'll say something bizarre that I know is not in God's Word, you know. And they're always just flabbergasted when I have to tell them, "I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible, you know. That's a Chinese proverb, or, you know, that's an old wives' tale," or something like that. But well, one lady, I can't even remember what it was, but she said, "My daddy always said," and she said it, she said, "I've always wondered, where is that at in the Bible?" And I knew it wasn't in there, and I was like, "It is not in the Bible." She says, "Now, I believe it is. I believe he was quoting the Bible." And so I had to go in and make sure positive. I searched and searched, and it certainly was not in there. And I told her, and she was heartbroken. And she thought it was in the Bible. But there's a lot of people think things about the Bible because they've not studied it for themselves. They've heard somebody else say, "Well, you know what the Bible says." And instead of looking it up, they just take their word for it. Be careful on Facebook. People will post those little funny things or those Bible verses, you know, and sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they've got the wrong reference, and sometimes they're just worded wrong. And if not a King James quote, it's totally wrong already. So, you know, be very careful when somebody tells you something about the Bible. Look it up for yourself. On that same thought, and one reason I'm trying to emphasize this about knowing the Bible, studying the Bible, is there are people today, good Baptists, that have been in Baptist churches, use the same King James Bible, but yet they don't study it, they don't know it well enough, but they have had the wool pulled over their eyes by someone that's come along trying to tell them something that is not correct. And let me tell you this story. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here or not, but we used to go to church with a man. He went to our church all my life. I knew him. He was in my dad's Sunday school class. And so he heard correct teaching and everything. This man was in his 60s. And, you know, he was always at church. And then suddenly he wasn't there. He missed two or three services. And everybody was like, where in the world is he? And so Dad decided to go to his house and see what's going on. He went over there on a Saturday, knocked on the door, and he come and he let him in. They sat down, and Dad said, what's going on? We've not seen you in a while. Are you sick? Is something wrong? He said, oh, no. He said, my eyes have been opened. He said, I finally know the truth. He said, I've been going to a Baptist church all my life. And he said, nobody ever told me the truth. And Dad said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, there was a man that came and knocked on my door. And I let him in, and we sat down at the table, and he opened up a Bible and started showing me things I'd never seen before. Things nobody had ever told me. No preacher had ever told me about this. And he explained how all the things I'd learned as a Baptist was wrong. And he had these other books here to back it up and everything else. And Dad said, he said, well, who is this man, and what church is he from? And he told him he was a Jehovah Witness. And he went to the, the temple, yeah. Went to the temple. And so Dad was sitting there, and this guy pulls out his Bible and books, and he's got one of those New World Translation Bibles. And he's got Watchtower Society literature and Awake magazine there on his kitchen table. And he's using these things to say, this is the Word of God. And he said, they are so nice to me. He said, they come and do Bible study here at my house every week. And we can go down to the temple there and learn, or the Kingdom Hall, that's what it was. They go down to the Kingdom Hall, and Dad was just like, he was trying to explain to him. He said, brother, this is false religion. This is not true. This is not what the Bible says. He wouldn't listen to it. It was like he had been brainwashed. And he said no, and he never came back to church. Said he was now a Jehovah Witness. Now, that is not a one-off story. That's going on all over the place. Do you know the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Do you know they're going all over our neighborhoods, knocking on the doors, telling people about their Jesus? Their Jesus is not our Jesus, by the way. And but they are doing that. Oh, they look good. They talk a good talk. And let me tell you, they know what they're going to say. They have it down pat. That's all they do. They study that stuff. They know it inside and out. They know it by heart. And they can sit there and get somebody that's been a Baptist for 60 years and convince them that what they've always heard is wrong. That's because that man had never studied the Scripture himself and knew the Word of God. Because if you did, you'd know when something like that happens. Let me tell you a few things about the Jehovah Witnesses. And I've got a whole series on false prophets and cults that I'll do one day. But just a few things in case you're not very familiar with their belief system. They don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They believe he is Michael the Archangel. They do not believe the Holy Spirit is a person, but rather he's an active force. They are Unitarians, and they completely deny the Trinity. If you want to get in an argument with them, all you got to do is ask them about the Trinity, and boy, they'll go crazy. They believe when you're dead, you're dead. Man has no eternal soul any more than an animal has. They believe that Jesus Christ was never raised bodily from the grave, but was recreated as a new spirit body. They believe that Jesus returned invisibly in 1914 and that there is no visible coming planned in the future. They do not believe in hell. They believe just like animals, when we die, it is over. They also believe only 144,000 people ever achieve heaven, and all those are already there. The 144,000 are already in heaven. Now, their leaders have predicted end of time several times, and it's never come about. What year was it? I said 1914. That was the biggie for them. And so since there was no visible sign Jesus had ever come, they just said he came and was invisible. A few statistics. Now, this is alarming. This is where I'm going with this, of why you need to study your Bible. There are approximately 8 million practicing members of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The majority of them are here in the United States. To be considered an active member, you have to submit a field service report every month to prove you've been actively preaching to non-members. That's what they're doing when they come to your door. They come and knock on your door and tell you things like, they mark it down. They've got a chart. They mark down. They keep a diary. They hand it in at their kingdom hall every month and say, this is what I've done. If they don't keep that up, they become non-active. There are around 100,000 kingdom halls worldwide in 230 countries. The Watchtower, which of course is their main publishing place, all their ideas and thoughts come from the Watchtower. It has produced literature in 432 different languages. There's around 7 million, this is the scary one, there's around 7 million home Bible studies with non-members being conducted by Jehovah's Witnesses all around the world. So this Bible study that the man that I knew, that they were coming to his house every week, he's one of that statistic right there. He's one of the 7 million. And so these people, they're coming into a non-Jehovah's Witnesses' homes to study the Bible. Now, my dad actually allowed one to come into the house one time to debate with him. And he did this for almost a year. The guy would come back, kept coming back. And they never would agree. They finally said, Dad said, listen, we've been doing this for about a year. He said, you're not coming around. You're not believing. He said, I'm certainly not going to go with what you believe. He said, so we're just going to have to say we agree to disagree. And the man left, never come back. And so that's one reason I know a lot about Jehovah's Witnesses, because I learned a lot from Dad about it. But the Watchtower prints 28 million copies, published in 155 languages. Their Awake magazine is published in 81 languages and has an average printing of 34 million copies. And their two magazine publications have the largest circulation of any religious magazine in the world. So, the Watchtower magazine, the Awake magazine, there's more of those produced than any other religious magazine in the entire world. Now, let me say this again. You need to study your Bible. I need to study my Bible. There's not a Jehovah's Witness that's going to be taken in by a Baptist. How many Baptists are knocking on doors these days? We used to do it. We went around our neighborhood, a 5-mile radius. We did it 2-3 times a year. We went all summer long. We'd go every week, knocking on doors everywhere. And we stopped right before COVID hit. And it was hard then to do it. But after COVID, I mean, you know, nobody wants you at their door. I don't want anybody at my door. If I don't know you're coming, look out. I'm coming around the back and I've got a gun in my hand, all right? But things have changed drastically. It's not the 1950s anymore, that's for sure. But the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're still going at it. The Mormons still going at it. The Mormons one time parked their car in our church parking lot and walked the neighborhood around the church. So, the Bible says there, the Bereans searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This wasn't just a quick glance through the scripture. They didn't say, hang on a minute. Yeah, that looks good. No, they said, we'll get back to you. We're going to go look this up. We're going to study this, and we're going to do it daily. And so it was a thorough search. They didn't have eSword back then. They couldn't get on their computer and do a search on what Paul's talking about. They went through the scripture that they had and studied it. And, you know, people today feel like it's a chore to even read the Bible. Most people today, most church members, most Christians, only open the Bible when they're at church, when the pastor says, or like when I say, if you have your copy of God's Word, then the Bible opens. And then when church is over, it shuts. It goes either on the dash of the car, in the seat, on the coffee table, or on a bookshelf. I'm not saying that happens here. I'm just saying that is the average churchgoer. And so you can ask somebody about the Bible and they have no clue, especially Baptists. We're some of the worst. And so, you know, people act like it's some kind of chore they got to get through. Even if they say, well, you know what, I need to start reading the Bible. And boy, they go through there and it's just like agony. I mean, 5 or 10 minutes a day. Are you kidding me? But yet they can binge watch something on Netflix for weeks, every night, hours on end. It's no big deal. But to go through the Bible 10, 15 minutes a day, are you kidding? Can you imagine how much better we would be these days, the church would be, if we were like the Bereans, if we searched the Scripture daily and we knew what it said? And so, like I said, it's my prayer that we would be known as a church of biblicists, that people would think about that before anything else when they think about us. All right, verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. I like how our King James uses those phrases, not a few. In other words, a bunch. After the Bereans heard this preaching and they studied the Scriptures for themselves daily, they believed in Jesus. They believed. So they saw it for themselves. The things that Paul was saying, what the prophets foretold, and everything that's in the Pentateuch and everything that they knew, it's backed up by the Scripture, what Paul said. Here the women are called honorable instead of noble like they were called in Thessalonica. But it really has the same kind of meaning. It's influential women. They were probably connected with families of high rank, or maybe their husbands were in the political realm or in the military or something, leaders in the town. And just like in Thessalonica, additional, more Greeks believed. You see that? These honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Yeah, verse 13. But, here we go again, when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. What in the world were these people doing? I mean, they were making it their life's goal to find out, well, where did that Paul and Silas go to? Well, they found out. I don't know how they found out. I don't know how long Paul's been there. He's been there some days because they searched the Scripture daily, so we know that he'd been there for some days, maybe a week. It wasn't a long time, but however time he was there, for somehow these people from Thessalonica found out about it, and them being 50, 60 miles away from there. Maybe somebody from their family or somebody, or maybe somebody from Berea, took off running to Thessalonica and say, I heard about that Paul. He's in Berea. I don't know. Or maybe one of those men followed their footprints to where they were going and discovered them. Whatever it is, they couldn't wait to go down there and try to stir those people up as well. And that's what they've done. And it says they had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, and they came thither also and stirred up the people. See, it wasn't really Paul that they were angry at. They were angry because the word of God was being preached. That's what it says there. It says, had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea. It could have been anybody preaching the word of God. They'd been mad about it because they were preaching the truth and they didn't want the truth to be known. And so these Thessalonians, they are determined to make Paul's life miserable, willing to walk 50 miles to stir up trouble and strife, and it worked. They got the people in Berea worked up. I'm sure it was the ones that were unbelievers, the ones that hadn't search the Scriptures daily, but other people in the town are all worked up and they've got everybody in a tizzy. And look, anytime God's work is being done and good's coming out of it, Satan is back there. I mean, he's biding his time and he's going to strike. He's going to pop up that little head of his and he has to use somebody to do it, by the way. Satan's not going to appear to us in bodily form as a little red man with, pointed ears and a tail and a pitchfork. That's not what Satan looks like at all. Satan uses people to do his work. And don't let it be you. Don't let him convince you of something. Don't let him tell you that something is just not right, or somebody did this, or you need to get upset about this. Because that's what he's done here. He's caused these people to get all stirred up because the word of God was being preached. And when people find out the word of God's being preached in here, they're going to stir up trouble. They do everything they can to shut it up. Verse 14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So again, they had to send Paul away immediately because these same unbelieving Jews come down there stirring up this trouble. they know what kind of problems that these guys cause. And so they say, well, all right, Paul, we've done all we can do here. We're going to have to get you out of here and, for safety reasons. But he didn't leave them high and dry there. He left behind his two best preachers, Silas and Timothy. They stayed behind there to establish the church there in Berea. Now, like I said, it's difficult to know exactly how long Paul stayed there, just a few days, maybe a week or so. We can't tell that he ever went back. It's believed in his third missionary journey that he may have returned again, but we don't know that for a fact. But like I said, in I believe it's 1 Thessalonians. Let me find it there before I mess up and say something I think right, and then somebody has to call me out on it. Then I'm in trouble again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 17, Paul writes this. He says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing, or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And see, he's writing this to the Thessalonians. So in Thessalonica, he said, you know, I want to come there. And, I was only with you for a short time, but Satan, stirred up trouble. And so we don't know that Paul ever went back to that area personally. Now, we do know that Timothy there stayed, and Silas, of course. But regardless, the church started, and like I said, just think about all the good that came out of that one place there in Berea.